broad is your bubble? Might seem like a funny question, but for many of us, we get stuck in phases of comfort, which is not necessarily bad, but it is comfort, meaning we're not probably growing, we're not really shifting our perspective, which you've heard me say a lot lately, just because of the experiences I've had in the past couple months. But when we're looking at our bubble and it's a safe place and a comfortable place, you really have to think, am I pushing myself? Am I challenging the way I think, the way my family thinks, the way my community thinks, the way my business thinks and sees the world? And so that's the concept that we're going to talk about today. I am so honored to have Sarita Parikh here with me. This is a concept and a topic that her and I started a dialogue about, and I was immediately like, we need to have this on the podcast because it's something that, again, there's no perfection around it. You're never done, but it's shifting perspective, right? Shifting your paradigm just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's the goal of our talk today, is that you just think a little differently about the world around you, right? The bubble that is around you and what you can do maybe different today or tomorrow even to start to think differently and act differently in this space. So Sarita is really involved in what I would call the social impact, kind of the B Corp space, right? People, planet, profits, and how organizations become stronger in that space, in their social impact, in their purpose, mm-hmm. really, as an organization. And it's something that Keystone and our group feels very strongly about. So I'd love to just start with your journey, right? Where you've been, where you're at today, because I think your journey alone will inspire and kind of help people think differently about maybe where they're at themselves.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having
me.
Absolutely. Really happy to be here on a sunny day in Minnesota. So my journey, I was born in a small, I won't go that route.
way back when.
So I'm an engineer by training. I started off in electrical engineering, computer science, and I thought I would be an engineer for my whole career. I assumed the next 40 years
would be. Yeah, that's what you did.
That's what you did, right? And I thought, well, okay, I'll be a junior engineer, and then I'll be a senior engineer, and then I'll be a level three, and then I'll be a principal, and then I'll be done. You know, 40 years later kind of
success.
Thing. Success, right? And at first I really loved it. I really loved engineering. I started off in telecommunications, and then I got to move into finance and healthcare and a number of different industries, a number of different kinds of businesses. And I had really great exposure to different cultures, what it looks like in a 30-person business versus a 30,000-person business. But about 7 years into it, after loving this work, like experiencing flow and just feeling like, wow, it's amazing, I'm having impact. After 7 years, I felt like I was starting to solve the same problems over and over again. And I was in my late 20s, and I had a career crisis in my late 20s, which I didn't see coming. I just never expected that would be.
Mine happened at 32.
Did it? Okay.
Yep, so it's okay.
And my mom's a physician. She's always done the same work. My dad's an engineer. He's always done the same work. And so I was like, what am I going to do? Because it never occurred to me
there
that
was one ladder that you were supposed to climb.
Yes. I mean, now everyone talks about like the zigzag or the different patterns that that you would expect in the work world. But I didn't have that on my radar in any way. And I never even thought I could be like a manager, like a leader. Never even occurred to me. So I was lucky. I was at a big enough business where I had a chance to just start dipping my toes into other types of work. And I tried a number of different things, and I found that I had a knack for project management. Project management is a great foundational skill set. If you're good at that, I think you can actually, you can take that into all kinds of different work. So I did that for a while, and then I started getting into actual leadership positions, manager positions, director kinds of things. And so all in technology, all in the engineering space. And then after a number of different things, I just had these opportunities where I was able to move into product. I was able to move into business development. Like, I can tell you, never, if you were to give me a million scenarios, I would never have guessed that there was one where I had a business development sales team. Never. So it's just sort of the nature of sales to me at the time felt like this kind of quid pro quo, and I was like, there's just no way I'm going to be successful at that. So anyway, I've had a number of different types of work, and I feel very, very lucky. My nature is one where I feel like there's joy in progress. Like, if I feel like I'm doing the same thing, I get bored quickly, and I actually just sort of feel like if I'm not growing and I'm not learning, then I almost feel like I'm falling behind.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
It's a confidence impact. Like, I have the same thing where your confidence starts to drop off when you're not challenging yourself enough. Like, you start to kind of lose it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It feels like it's hard work just to even kind of keep up.
Yeah.
So, a few months ago, I felt kind of saturated in the role that I was in now, and I had a chance to be in a leadership position for almost every function, you know, like, I had enough experience with, certainly with technology and operations and product, and I had a P&L and marketing and all of these sorts of things. And
you checked all the boxes.
I checked all the boxes, and I'm certainly not an expert at any of those things. No one would look at me and say, that is a crack salesperson. Call her the closer. But I know what good looks like. And I think that was what I was able to learn, is like, what are the fundamental skills? What are sort of the gifts that people have when they're really good in these roles?
Mm-hmm.
And so I found myself saturated in the work. I felt like I learned everything I could learn. I felt like I contributed kind of the biggest things I could contribute. And it was time to do something new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another career crisis. I've had many along the
way. Okay. That's okay. We'll have to do a whole podcast on career crisis.
I think you've talked about the jungle gym, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love that analogy, because it's sort of like you might be on the monkey bars, fall down, break your wrist, and you're like, oh.
And then, holy crap, I'm spinning on the tire swing, and I feel like I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the slide. I mean, there's so many different analogies.
Yes.
So I was thinking, like, what am I going to do? And at this point, I felt like I had had enough experience with so many different areas. And I thought, okay, I think this is my chance to try something entrepreneurial. And I, again, if you ask me for 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it would never have been on my radar.
Like,
these are all things that are very, very evolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew for sure that one of my personal missions is growing businesses that do good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I work with the co-ops. I'm on the board of the co-ops. We have a triple bottom line: people, planet, and profit. I really admire B Corps, like Patagonia. These are businesses that really focus on sustainability. How do you grow a business and not have kind of the negative spillover to people, to communities, to planet, all of those sorts of things?
Yeah.
And at the same time, when I was thinking about, okay, so what is it that I want to do? I think the problem that kept, you know, if you think about product and you think about a business, it's always about what problem are you here to solve?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, less about the idea and more of a focus on what are you here to do? And right now for me, and I think for many people, it's just how polarized the United States is. And England and Greece and Brazil and, you know, all over the world, there's this...
You're either with us or you're against us. There's no in between.
Us and them.
But yet every single person that I know, that I respect, is in between.
Mm-hmm.
On many of these topics, right? There is a ground, and they don't want to be one side all the way or one side all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we... It's a real issue now.
It's a real issue. I think it's... I mean, there's so many facets, as you'd imagine, but you're right, though. Your instinct is right. So there's a... research report by Hidden Tribes, if you haven't read it. It's 130 pages, so don't read the whole thing. Maybe read the executive summary. But they talk about seven segments. They've done this analysis on the American population. And if you take out the left 10% and the right 10%, and you just focus in on that middle 80%, that most people believe in compromise.
Yes.
They actually aren't as opposed, you know, even if you take, you know, the 15th percentile and whatever the 75th percentile, their differences aren't that big and they're willing to compromise. So it's interesting because it's such a media dominated topic right now.
It's
like these extremes on either end.
And if you're not extreme, you kind of feel like you're like, am I missing something that I should be this extreme? But I don't think we are. I think it's because the people that are extreme are almost listening too much.
Oh yeah. Well, then that's the second piece for me, is if I look at, say, Facebook or I look at Twitter, I don't think they're social media. I think they're anti-social media. I think they take, you know, they create these echo chambers. You only see, there's this cognitive bias, this sort of human tendency to be primed for believing in what you already believe. So if you hear information and it aligns to what you believe.
Self-fulfilling. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And if you have your information that doesn't align to what you believe, you're just much more ready, easy to discount it.
Yeah.
And so these are platforms that have all this AI built around giving you messages that already align to messages you've been hearing. And so it becomes this like vitriolic, I mean, you know, anybody who's ever been on social media just knows how uncivil it is at times. I mean, there's a lot of great things about social media.
There are, but it's also, you know, we talk about comparison, and we've done podcasts on that, is it's also giving us, you know, a filter where it's just the highlight reel, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily reality reel. Mm-hmm. It's just the good stuff, too. And I mean, that's what we're all doing, right? We're contributing to it.
Oh, yeah. I think that's another great point, is that, like, you see somebody might be on vacation for a week, and you see five pictures, and that's like five little moments from their vacation.
Yeah.
But real life, you have 16 waking hours every day, and real life is messy and it's complicated, but you don't post that kind of stuff on social media.
Not usually.
So then there's all this research of how people go on Facebook and they or Instagram or whatever, and they leave, they actually feel worse than when they started.
Yep, I would agree.
So, I mean, the world is complex, and I think, you know, I feel like it's pretty audacious to feel like we can all have impact, but certainly that's what my mission is. Our goal for this venture is around building more joy and more compassion through more meaningful connections.
So back to the human connection again, which I'm hearing over and over again. I think people are craving, they just don't know how to solve for it, right? It's almost like we've lost that muscle has not been exercised in so long or at the level that it should.
It feels like a very, very me-oriented culture. And I don't say that in a place of judgment, because I recognize I myself have been... I think part of my own journey with all of this is that I have seen these tendencies in myself over and over. Like, I mean, how many times have I said, whoever voted for that guy is an idiot? You know, if I haven't said it, I've at least thought it.
Yeah.
Or I'll be at some place and I'll see somebody and I won't have spoken to them and I'll, some judge, you know, I will know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I've become conscious of those things, the more and more I've realized, like, gosh, I didn't even realize how much I was contributing to the problem.
And again, you're contributing, you're stealing your own joy and positive, not that other person's.
That's exactly right.
Right? Like, we're doing it to ourselves. So I want to dig into this more. But before we dig into it, I have to ask everybody that comes on, is what do you think in the journey that you've been on to where you are today, is what's a superpower that you have that has really gotten you, brought you to this level of success and this level of enlightenment, right, about what you want to do next?
I've thought about that question a lot. I think for me, I can always find the silver lining. Like, whatever happens, it is my nature to figure out what was good about what just happened. And then build on that. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, maybe the mainstream version of that is like there are no mistakes, there are only learnings. Like, that when things happen, that, you know, you take that as an opportunity, learn what you can learn, and then you leave the rest behind.
Yeah. Do you think you've always been like that, or do you think that's something that has grown as your experience has grown and your knowledge has grown? Has that superpower grown stronger? It was probably always there, but has it grown stronger with confidence?
I do think it's part of my nature, but I agree. I think it's grown stronger with confidence, and then also with more conscientiousness, just being more aware, like tuning into what I'm thinking.
Yep.
You know, there's that idea, I don't know if you know Michael Singer, he wrote... Anyway, he's a writer, and he wrote this concept that, like, imagine if that voice in your head were an actual human.
Oh, yeah.
And if that person...
You would punch it.
You would punch it, yeah. I'd be in jail for murder.
I absolutely would, yeah. I'd be like, you said what?
Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah.
It's so true.
And so, like, tuning into that voice and recognizing that that's not you, that, like, you are so much more infinite, and there's so much more to you than that voice. We are not our minds. We are not our thoughts. You know, that we are like, humans, and there's so much more to just, like, this soundtrack.
And this one thing.
Unrelenting soundtrack.
So talking about this concept of, you know, we're calling it broadening your bubble, but it's really your perspective and kind of, you know, changing the way you look, what's around you and the way you look at things. So talk about your passion around that, right? And this movement, I'll call it a movement, for lack of a better term. That's really what you're trying to drive in whatever that form it takes. Mm-hmm. Talk about that idea of broadening your bubble, how people can start to think about that, like how you think that plays into our success.
There's this Gandhi quote. You've probably heard, like, there's a bumper sticker version, which is, be the change you wish to see in the world.
You mean the one that's written on my whiteboard right there behind you?
Yes. So the full quote on that one is, he says, as a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change towards him. And I think we probably share this belief that real change begins from within.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. And it's being aware of what energy are you bringing. I look back at myself, versions of myself from the past, and I just see, I try to have self-compassion, but I do see a person who has had some arrogance and some elitism and a number of different things. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned, and I've associated with myself with my thoughts, it took me a really long time to recognize that, like, I am more than what my the soundtrack.
They don't have
of my
the power
brain.
That you think they have.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
How does your background portray? Because you've kind of shared that with mm-hmm. me in terms of, you know, again, what you've seen on your journey, your culture, and that type of thing, and how you think it's played into you mm-hmm. up to this point, and how you've had to shift that.
I grew up in Texas, and I'm Indian. I was born in the States, but my parents are Indian. We straddled both cultures growing up. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that, Hinduism is an incredible religion. I think there's a lot around being very mindful. But just our local culture, for a lot of different reasons, was very status-oriented and really gossip-friendly. Like, gossip was just a big part of what we did. Mm-hmm. It was a big part of, like, how I forged connections with people growing up. Sort of that idea of, like, you and I have a bond because we're talking about somebody else.
Yep.
And so it took me a really long time to recognize that gossip was not... I actually just felt worse every time I gossiped.
Yep.
I didn't even realize that. Like, it feels so good in the moment, and then I would just feel so guilty and badly afterwards.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to recognize that. And then it took me a long time to feel okay, like, that other people thought what they thought, but that wasn't me, that was them. You know, all of those sorts of things... I think are part of your growth journey. I think to your earlier
They are,
point.
And that's why I think that's important is we all have a journey, mm-hmm. good, bad, ugly, right? I mean, there's all parts of our journey, and it's not change who you are, meaning change your history, your culture, your background, your, you know, upbringing, any of that. It's change who you can become, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, is what, right? So you have the power to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and change what energy you bring into those scenarios too. Like, you know, you don't have to judge it. Like, I guess that's the other part for me is I'm naturally very judgmental.
Yeah.
So I say all these things because I feel like I can channel that awareness into this platform that I recognize over and over. I am humbled by life literally every day.
Yeah.
And I think if I look back at any time in the past, I know that I was doing the best that I knew how to do. Every time I believed I was a good person and doing good in the world, and I was, mm-hmm. But I had more opportunity to grow.
Correct.
And I suspect 5 years from now, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, oh, Sarita.
You thought you were.
So charming and cute that she thought what she thought. I expect to be wiser then. And I think it's so weird, you know, people talk so much about aging, but I feel like there are parts of aging that I don't love. My hip pain that I've just that's been introduced to me.
we could sit here and talk. Nobody wants to hear about all of our.
I know.
We're about the same age, so I get it.
But the wisdom and the confidence that comes with it is incredible. And I just feel like I've heard so many people say that, and I just feel like, how do you? It's like parenting. You just don't know until you're in it, and then it's almost like life before. It's sort of like, what was that like?
And yeah. And it's interesting. It just brings up something. Just yesterday, I was talking with a client and working through something they're launching to market that they've been talking about for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And in our discussions yesterday and the strategy of like, celebrate this. This is amazing. They're like, oh, you know, we probably should have launched it 2 years ago. And we've been talking about it for so long. And it's like, yeah, it's great. It's finally kind of there. But it was like, but what would the product have looked like 2 years ago? And they're like, oh, wouldn't it look like this? Because we've learned so much. Mm-hmm. And it was like, but this was the right time mm-hmm. for it to launch. Mm-hmm. Because you needed to go through that. Just like, you know, talking to a 25-year-old that has wisdom. They can have experience and wisdom and be very, you know, have a lot of those characteristics. But it's not the same as what they're going to have when they're 40 mm-hmm. or 50. It just, you can't create that. It just has to kind of happen. Mm-hmm. And I think as an entrepreneur myself, that's almost helped me let go of, like, I have to know it all now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I think life will teach you over and over that what you thought you knew, like, you didn't even mm-hmm. know what you didn't know.
Correct.
And part of that growth journey, I think, involves a lot of, like, what can feel like pain in the moment. And you just don't, I mean, you just have to have experiences to be able to say, like, wow, you know, there's this whole area, this whole set of perspectives I didn't even have any visibility into.
Yeah.
Until I kind of stepped in it. So.
And that's what it is. So my next question, and this is really selfish because I want your advice and I want you, you know, your coaching on this is, and I just had this discussion with another female leader, where just the state of our world right now, and I think it also got worse, like better and worse when I went to Ecuador, is just this overwhelm of everything that's broken right now. There's just so much, like it, this female leader and I, it was like, you're almost at the point where you're like, is this fixable? Or are we really, right? If you listen to media, like, are our kids doomed, right? Like, we've just destroyed it. Like, let's just all give up and, like,
let's just go eat Ben and Jerry's on the couch and wait for Armageddon.
Because it's been gonna come at so many points. Yes. Like, so, what do you, like, first off, how do we manage the overwhelm, right? When you talk about B Corp, people, planet, profit, everyone would say yes. Mm-hmm. But that can be overwhelming, mm-hmm. to say, how do you even feel like you're making a dent? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you feel like you can do something? What's your advice? What have you done to start thinking about this and making a dent or feeling good about the little tiny dent you are making?
That's such a funny question that you'd say right now. I had a walk with a friend this morning, and mm-hmm. As we were chatting about this topic about humanity and compassion, she said, well, it all begins with materialism and consumption, and then started talking about plastic and the plastic circle in the Pacific Ocean. Yep. And, you know, it is like you just want to crawl under the table.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
I got some really incredible advice in my 20s, interestingly, mm-hmm. from a friend who was in her 20s, about picking your one thing and putting your all into that thing. Because I think this is, I don't believe this on my own, millions of people believe this, but you know, you can have maybe tiny incremental action or impact to a lot of different things, mm-hmm. or you can have material, real impact to one thing. And so it's about, in her case, she was focused on carbon emissions. And so she worked for a group that was focused on carbon emissions, and this is where she spent her volunteer time, and this was something that she was kind of a walking encyclopedia, but not pedantic, not boring. She actually made it pretty interesting. And so for me, as I was going down this route of like, what is it that I can do that can make real impact in the world? How can I mean, honestly, make the world a better place? Like, mm-hmm. isn't that all of our goals?
Yeah.
So what is it that I have that I can maybe make an impact? And I've always had a just real passion for the topic of self-development. It's just always been something that's been fascinating to me. Just why do people do what they do? This idea of the intention-action gap, that like what your intentions are and the actions that you have, that people don't actually act in accordance with what they intended. Yeah, right. It's always fascinated me, and it's also just been a big part of like who I am, because I know I should exercise. There's a million reasons I should be exercising. Yeah. Why is it so hard for me?
I have all of the information. Yeah, I just don't
exactly.
make the right actions.
It's not an intellectual challenge. So that idea of self-development and self-growth has always been a passion, and then I also know doing good at scale has been a passion for me. Mm-hmm. So having this technology background, the work that I did that I just wrapped up was working with the GED, which is for people who didn't finish high school, mm-hmm. adults who didn't finish high school, helping them get their high school diploma, and actually helping them build the skills to move into the middle class, actually break the cycle of poverty.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about influencing behavior to help people achieve their goals at mm-hmm. scale. I can't believe how lucky I was to do that work, by the way. That was incredibly lucky work to be able to do, and we had real impact, and it showed me like this sort of being able to have this technology background and understand scale and all of those sorts of mm-hmm. things, and having enough of a background in like human behavior, why do people do what they do, bringing those two things together, it's chocolate peanut butter really, and so here I felt like, okay, the third piece is what is my own personal passion. And kind of a grandma at heart, like I probably have always been a grandma at heart, and so I'm always wanting to, you know, Sonny, let me give you some words of wisdom kind of thing. But I think in this platform, it's not about me. I mean, certainly it's not about me. I think it's about the power of the people, and, mm-hmm. You know, I think about you know, for me, a hero is Oprah, or Gandhi, Oprah, and Abe Lincoln are my three heroes, and amongst many, but the three big ones. Yep. And but when I think about what I've learned from them, but I've learned everything I've learned from them, I've learned 100 times more from the real people in my real life.
Yeah.
The wisdom of the people. And I think part of this is, like, how do we bring our, you know, what is it that we do to build, cultivate joy and build connections, build meaningful connections in really difficult times? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we kind of share our experiences, not through photos and not through one-liners, but, like, through in meaningful ways?
Yeah. And how do we create connection, but I think also create, so the big word for us is impact.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, my whole business is that's what drives us. I mean, at the core is just small. It doesn't have to be, when people think impact, they think it has to be this really huge thing, but I believe this podcast has impact. Mm-hmm. I believe every time someone listens to me interviewing and hearing a different story, that it has a small impact on them, right? They carry it home, they carry it to the office and do something, one thing different. Mm-hmm. And it's those small changes that can create, you know, I talk about the ripple effect, right?
Absolutely.
It can create larger ripples as it goes further and further out. And so it's, what are those small things, not the overwhelming things, but what are the small things that you can do day to day? You know, I equate it to, again, Ecuador, I keep going back to that, but bringing my 13-year-old daughter, who really has a social conscience and is starting, you know, she's, her one thing is straws, plastic straws. She literally did a TED Talk on it, and now she refuses every restaurant. We went to a resort that didn't have, like, for spring break, that didn't use straws, and she was like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, I want to know more about this company and why they don't use straws. Like, she goes to Starbucks, and she specifically on the thing is like, no straw. Like, she wants the top. I didn't even know Starbucks had a top that you don't need a straw for. Does everybody know that? They have a special top if you ask. That's like a sippy, you know, like, but you don't need a straw. So you're not wasting it. So it's her one thing. And I'm looking at her going, like, I don't even feel like I have that one thing. Like, I'm like trying, but she is so passionate about that. Not all plastics, not all straws. Straws and sea turtles is essentially where she's at, right? Like, it's killing marine wildlife. But I just look at her and think, like, okay, the future's going to be just fine. Like, if there's a few of you, again, one thing at a time, like, you guys are thinking about the right things at 12, 13, right? They have access to what they need access to. They can get educated, hopefully not on social media and Instagram, but there's places to find out more information than the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is where we found when we were looking it up, you know. Hopefully you're that age. Everyone's listening going, what? But that's how I did research for stuff at school, is we had very limited access to knowledge, which is a good and bad. So if people are listening and they're like, yeah, I get it. Yes, right? Like, this is something I should be thinking about. We should all be thinking about. Where do they start? Where did you start, right? Like, what do you recommend?
I definitely think looking inward. I think, to your point, what is that small thing when you think about impact? There's nothing, I think there's nothing more impactful than that you can do than just to sort of start from within and ask yourself, you know, am I living, when I think about what's important to me and, you know, sort of what energy do I want to put out in the world, is that the energy that I'm putting out? I've learned, again, just because life has humbled me so many ways, but I've learned that, like, even if I have exactly the right words that I'm saying, if there's any little part of my brain that's, like, that isn't aligning to what those words are. It's like I might be chatting with somebody and say, hey, that was a great job on that presentation. And if I'm thinking, eh, it was a mediocre job. Then my body language, my tone, like, as
it's
much
different.
As I, yeah, I cannot, I mean, I simply am incapable of hiding those things. So what I've learned is, like, those inside feelings leak. And then they, and so kind of back to that Gandhi quote, like, as you're thinking about what is it with someone, and back to this concept of labels and bubbles and things like that, you know, even that first idea of, like, you know, when you're working with someone who maybe you have some differences in perspectives and they're causing friction, you know, can you bring yourself back to this concept that, like, you know what, fundamentally we're both human. We both, like, I can almost guarantee you that this person, unless they're a sociopath, which is a real thing, but
There's a connection point somewhere.
Yeah, there's something that you have more in common than you have different, just by virtue of being alive and by virtue of being human. And I think I've forgotten that many, many times. And I think back to all these times where it leaked, you know, like what I was thinking leaked, and people feel it. And then they take that, and it's almost this like negative spillover. Like, so now they feel a little badly after their interaction with you, and maybe they have a bad interaction with someone else.
Correct. And it's a ripple effect that you don't want to have.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can't control, you can't bring it back necessarily. I mean, you can. Right. So it's so true. And experiencing, you know, poverty and in Ecuador and the work that we were doing, that's actually the number one thing that I came away with. Like, yes, there's climate issue. There's tons of things, right? Pillars that we need to work on. But fundamentally, the people in these villages that, you know, just got clean water, they're just getting access to education, and they're living in, you know, like boarded home. I mean, it's just wood that they could scrap together for homes, are some of the happiest people I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally, and this is not like just a quote and a meme kind of, like, these people were some of the happiest people I've ever seen. Some of the happiest kids I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, that made trash bags, you know, kites out of trash bags. Mm-hmm. And they're playing hours while we're there working. I'm like, they haven't put that kite down for hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it going, fundamentally, all the other stressors and all the other things, like, my daughter spent hours with them. Then they could not understand a single word of what they were saying to each other. They could motion, right? She could play and do things, but like no language, complete language barrier. Not a single word in either direction did they understand. But the human element was stronger than I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it makes me emotional. The pictures that I have and the, like, I've never seen that kind of a connection.
I believe it. I believe that's true. Like, I think if you can figure out what that is.
Yes. With each person, you can find that connection.
I agree. I mean, I think another part of it is, like, being conscious of the labels that you have when you go into something. Yeah. And so the labels that you put on yourself and the labels that you put on other people, those labels minimize us. You know, we are infinite. Like, if you think about all the ways to describe you, no words could describe who you are. Like, you're just so much more than words. And yet this notion of, like, one word describes me as, you know, progressive or executive or mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, of course, just if you go back to the research, like, when you apply those labels to yourself, you've primed yourself to think of yourself as that way. And so there's this fascinating research around women, Asian women, and they were being asked to do math problems. And so the first group was primed that they were Asian first. And there's this stereotype that Asians are great at math. And so those people took a math test. And then this other group was primed that they were women first, and then they took the same math test. And the people who were primed as Asians performed materially better. And it's incredible, right? Like, just the things that
control.
We do, that our beliefs have. And so when I say, like, think of yourself as human first, I do really believe, like, instead of coming in and saying, oh, I'm an executive, I'm a founder, I'm a mom, or whatever it is, like, I'm a human. Then it's like...
That has different characteristics and different experiences and different... It does have different labels, I mean, because that's how we... But it's a beautiful message. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a message we need to be teaching much earlier, right?
Yeah.
Before we've gotten to the point that we're at. But but that's what you're going to work on fixing.
Hopefully me and millions of other people, like, you know, if we all just do a little bit. I had a friend who was like, oh, aren't there going to be so many other people in this space? And I'm like, great, yes, because the more people in the space, the more of a movement we can create. Like, you know,
not just one of us has all the answers.
Right.
And if someone has created it before, great, create it in your way, right? Or your message is just a little different, or your audience is different, so you can spread that word differently.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think, and it's also not a fixable problem. I think all we can do is we can have, like, try and move the needle. If we each try to move the needle, again, it's like, you know, the actions of one person are the actions of one person. But if we all take action, even like 1% amongst all of us, in aggregate, that can be incredible.
Yep.
So, scale.
I love it. Scale. That's what we're thinking about. But it just takes one person at a time to think just a little differently today. Right? And hopefully that's what it's done today. It's just, again, you know, don't like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelmed and I need to go solve world peace and the like, that's not what we're advocating for. We're advocating for in your space with yourself and the people in your bubble, or really broadening that, is you can have an impact today. Mm-hmm. You can choose to. Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not you choose to. Mm-hmm. And what kind of impact that actually has, positive or negative.
Absolutely.
So we have that opportunity. And if we screw it up today, we can get up tomorrow and try again.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's our message here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Any other wisdom or just, you know, just any other parting thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners about this topic or just anything?
I think you nailed it. I mean, I think it really is just like every day is a new opportunity. Not just every day, it's like every interaction. Every time you meet someone, whether they're a stranger or someone you've known for a long time, like how can you just bring this mindset of we have more in common than we have different? Just that alone.
Lead with that mm-hmm. and see how it changes your world, your well-being. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is, that, again, we like to think that this is for everybody else, but I'm going to be honest. This is selfish in that it changes your well-being probably as much or more than it changes someone else's mm-hmm. when you come with that mindset.
It comes with a sense of peace.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I will say for me, it takes a lot of work and focus. It's not my nature to be this way. It takes some work to be more compassionate. But wow, it feels just like it's sort of a sense of peace. It's like unburdened in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's more, we all need more of that mm-hmm. in today's world. So I appreciate you being here and sharing this message. I mean, and again, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right, on the conversations. But again, I think it's the more impact we can have to help people just think a little differently and change one interaction that someone has today has a ripple effect mm-hmm. for the rest of us. And so that's really our goal each day is can we have that? And, you know, and as we think about the purpose of this podcast and, you know, your superpowers and really using them for good. Using them to drive success, not just a title in the top of the career ladder, but just drive success in your life, personally and professionally, however you define it. But we have to, when we're in that space of our superpowers, I truly believe when we're using those, we can create more good mm-hmm. in the world.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for being here. Thank you to the listeners who continue to engage in these conversations and give us feedback, because we really are grateful to be able to bring these messages to you to just help shift your paradigm a little bit. It's really what it is those small incremental changes that make us all better and provide that growth. So thanks everyone for joining us today.